Everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm excited to be here. We got some more combat to do.
Yeah, we do.
And it's harrowing, right? I mean,
so not that much more combat to do given how low
There is, you know, some amount of combat left to do. And I mean, you know, you don't want those easy combats, right? Like,
no.
Just a slog was like, oh, yeah, we're just checking the box. And we're just like, oh, these mooks, we're just chewing through enemies, right? Like, no one wants that.
This time we are the mooks. Yeah. Chewed through.
You guys, good news. Actually, I'm not gonna jump into the episode because we got to remember the voices and names of the players who are playing our soon to be dead guilders. Starting with the person on my right.
Hello, everyone. My name is Steve, and I, as always, am playing Sylve Esterlin, the dragonborn monk who is currently at a whole entire. One hit point.
Yep.
Yep.
Yikes.
Better than zero.
And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Kaskrin Brightmane, a dwarven sorcerer. And I have, similar to Steve, a whole whopping 2 hit points.
Really?
Wow. No, it's actually, I was trying to figure out if there's like a binary joke in here, because I actually have 11 hit points, which is 2 in base 10, but.
Why are you like
this? I don't know.
So, desperately David, clawing
David,
for the meme.
David, just know I love you that you tried to figure it out.
I have 11 HP. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and it's trusty frog pal, Mango and Junior, and Billiam for this episode. And Checkers is currently groveling on the top of Mango, laying down, paying deference to the jailer who has decided that all of us must be smushed by his massive warhammer.
Yeah. Ideally.
Crushed between his massive thighs.
Well, we'll see how things go, I suppose. Depends on how much stunting I want to do on you guys. I promise I did not design this encounter as a, like, this will humble those fucking guilders. It's more of like, well, if I'm going to TPK you, I guess I might as well make it fun. And I guess I roll to crush your head between his thighs, since that's what you want.
And thank you for that mental image of the jailer just 24 hours a day with a thigh master.
We are all but watermelons him.
And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human asterisk cleric asterisk of the Arcana Domain. And I, Sophie, really can't handle the suspense of if Val will die to this Warhammer right now.
You probably won't die.
You've rolled really well.
Outright.
All of the
time. Outright. Unconscious, maybe.
Neither are good.
You guys are in a bit of a sticky wicket. You are desperately trying to rescue the Far-Eye Grumbingle, who has kind of been pointed to you guys as a potential source for information or resources or something. You guys don't actually, like, know what yet. And so you guys are facing down only one Mithril Golem. Again, this kind of strange, amorphous, semi-humanoid bit of liquid metal. But only one, because Checkers has successfully jailed the other one. And
nice move.
Indeed, the jailer. You have spent a lot of time destroying the various control consoles here in this room. There is still one standing, but you have targeted the two that the jailed Far-Eye has kind of pointed out to you to be like, kill those guys. And you have done so. And I, as GM, knowing that you are in dire straits, will tell you they could have been much direr had you not done that. So, good job there. Genuinely, you should actually feel very good about that, even if things don't look their best. And last we left our heroes, Valeska Carter, there was a large hammer being swung at you by the jailer.
Indeed.
Now, don't forget, you are behind a console, so you do have half cover, so a little bonus to AC, a little bonus to, I think, dexterity saves and such. He's going to do an attack upon you. What's your HP right now?
20.
Okay, he's going to do a roll. And I rolled a 3 on the die.
Oh, nice.
I don't wait.
Oh.
Which only makes and it that, a 26.
That is a miss.
Ah.
So a big on the console that I recall Billiam folded in half like it was a table outside of a Buffalo Bills home football game. It just clangs, and Val, you're able to duck out of the way just as this huge hammer blow comes down. And boy, that one would have hurt. But luckily, you were able to stay up.
Whew.
And that means it is the top of the order. Kaskrin Brightmane, it is your turn with all of your 11 HPs. You are right next to the remaining Mithril Golem that has kind of come up, has been described as Foreman Hardvek's kind of latest creation or whatever. You would recognize the name as, you know, just one of the 5 members of the Pentarchy.
Yep, yep.
So that's maybe running in your background, or running in the background of your head just a little bit. But you have some other things to worry about, namely the golem itself. It has been damaged a little bit by you guys already. It was the one that has taken some hits, but is, still kicking.
Still there, yep. I am going to start by using a bonus action to drink one of the potions.
Seems reasonable.
I have a minor healing potion, which heals 2d4 plus 2. But because I'm also a special boy, it heals maximum amount.
Different,
so,
yeah. A special boy of a different flavor.
Yes, so I heal 10 HP with that bonus action. I am going to also keep trying to hit this thing and see if this works at all. Please, God, dice, don't fail me now. First attack with my Warhammer against the Mithril Golem next to me. 13.
Miss.
Second attack. Oh my god, it's another 13.
No!
Oh.
Miss.
I'm not gonna move because that's gonna provoke an attack of opportunity. I guess I'm done.
David, I neglected to give you some information.
Okay.
Last time, and I don't think it would have changed this turn, but I think it might be useful information for the party moving forward. Last time, you were trying to recall information on Mithril, using that stone cunning ability that you, as a dwarf, and a dwarf literally made out of rocks, has. Mithril, it has to be very, very hot to be forged. But it occurs to you that cold could have some interesting effects on this creature.
Yeah, that tracks.
Again, I don't think it has much to do with you throwing rocks at it.
Yeah, but someone.
As your brain is just churning through information, it occurs to you.
There is a moment when, like, that last piece of information clicks in Kaskrin's brain. Like, as he's trying to hit this thing, it fluidly dodges out of the way of Warhammer. He will convey that information to Selv. It's like, Selv, try the icicles!
And it's a good thing you've conveyed that information, because it is now the Mithril Golem's turn. Fort Axe, the jailer barks out.
So do if you can, but kill if you must.
It's going to start taking some attacks. Ooh, actually, this one has not used its painful oppression ability just yet, so it is going to go ahead and do that now. Surgically, it moves throughout the entirety of your party and once again tries to hit you in particular pressure points all over your body and inject little bits of poison and such into you. Hey, everybody, give me a constitution saving throw. And yes, you get advantage.
Yay.
Because it is poison, David.
Val fails miserably.
How miserably?
By more than 5.
Yikes.
Checkers succeeded, but both Billiam and Mango failed by more than 5.
Okay.
Kaskrin failed, but not by more than 5. Just okay. A regular failure.
Selv with a 12.
Selv, you fail, but you not fail by more than 5. Those of you who fail are going to take a little bit of damage. 8 points of poison damage. And those of you who failed by 5 or more are knocked prone.
Selv is down.
Mango is also gone.
Okay. As a bonus action, he's going to go up to Val and try to chuck you into a jail cell. But you do know this thing is not intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And the closest jail cell to you is a jail cell that can no longer be locked.
Oh.
Because you guys have destroyed the panel. So Val, in the fleeting moment, would understand this.
This actually might work out better for me.
But also, it is going to still
Fair.
Huck you 15
huck
feet.
Huck me.
So could you make a dexterity saving throw, please?
A natural one.
You,
I get fucked even further.
You are flung into a wall, and you do not take any extra damage. But yeah, it is undignified, I guess, is what I'll say.
It does like a little sweet lasso trick with me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it between the legs, it does a fadeaway jumper, and man,
nothing but net.
Nothing yeah. but net the whole time. It's pretty much a bummer. But again, you actually take no damage from this
Great.
Attack, and I would imagine there's a moment of panic where you're like, oh fuck, yeah. like I'm in trouble. And then you're like, wait a second, you cannot be closed in because this jail, at least from that panel,
mm-hmm.
you should be safe.
Great.
That is the end of his turn. Selv Asterlin.
Yep.
You know how infrequently I get to put a Steve character into death saving throws?
That's true.
It's not
like
often.
The only time.
It's one of maybe two times ever. Steve, could you roll me a death saving throw, please?
All right, here we go. That is a 17 on the die.
Okay. Ooh. That is one success on your success track.
Is it minus two because you're exhausted?
That would still be then a 15, which would still be a success.
I think it would be, which is worth noting. But that is the end of your turn. Valeska Carter, you've been dunked.
I've been dunked.
But you are indeed in a jail cell, several feet away from most of the combatants now. You're probably still a little threatened by the golem, since it just has such huge arm span, basically, mm-hmm. and reach. But you are certainly no longer right next to the jailer.
Okay. Well, first thing I'm going to do is cast Healing Word on Selv. 1d4 plus 4 to get you up.
That's a 3, so plus 4 is 7.
Nice.
Selv's alive, and that's
Selv is conscious. You see him flutter back.
So you said if Val was to exit this jail, she would provoke an attack of opportunity?
If it chose to take one, yes.
Val is going to risk it. She is going to move to the last console control panel.
Attack of opportunity. Natural one.
Oh! Ooh.
Nice.
Nice.
The battlefield is just slightly too chaotic for this creature. While it seems to have very good awareness of everything around it, there's just one too many things going on. And so you, little diminutive Val, is able to just sneak around as one of its big arms tries to smash you down. But unfortunately, just a half second too late.
You know, I, Sophie, really like to think that it was just too busy, like, dabbing on Val to realize that she snuck out of an unclosed jail cell.
It was feeling too good about the fact that it just hooked you in there with perfect form.
Right.
Yeah, because it could use, like, it uses, like, six arms to do it.
Yeah.
It's running a victory lap around the room.
It hasn't just stopped to do it dancing yet.
Okay, so now that Val is at the control panel and she can read everything, what button corresponds to the door of Far-Eye Chaturanga Grumbeagle?
Give me another, I'm going to say another perception check, but you can have advantage.
Okay.
Since you have already deciphered one of these already. Now, again, now it is just a question of, again, kind of how many actions is this taking to...
Okay.
Find and identify and push the right buttons.
It is a 19.
I'm going to say, with a bonus action, you're able to perfectly read, perfectly identify, and push the singular button that is found here. You do see, while you are scanning, notably, before I give the big reveal, you see a button for the fire sprinklers.
Mm-hmm.
You see buttons controlling all of the different cells. You also see a door control that locked you in here. And I would say those are the main ones you are able to kind of quickly identify.
I have not used Val's action with that.
As bonus action, you can push a button.
I have already bonus actioned healing word self to be alive. So can I use my action?
Absolutely.
To open. Val will yell out to the party, I'm opening Farai's door. This feels like the right move. And presses the button.
You all hear this as Val kind of in slow motion, you know, slamming her hand down on this control panel. And you all see the Farai in his cell. You see the Farai smirk a little bit. See a sort of familiar twinkle in his eye, a twinkle of mischief. Val's hand goes down, and this grung's head gets thrown back, and his mouth goes wide open. And as Val's hand hits the panel, and as the arcane barrier drops, you all hear, as it uses psychedelic drone. Each enemy within 60 feet of the seer who can hear them must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or take psychic damage and be dazed for 1 minute.
Are we enemies of the Farai?
It's an interesting question.
Realizing I probably should have vibe checked him before I opened this door.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, both of the remaining creatures in here save, so they are not stunned, but still does some damage nonetheless.
Good news, we're not enemies as of now.
And none of you take damage.
Woo. Nice.
Even though I'm sorry, Sophie, you would be immune.
I was ready.
To this psychic damage, but alas, that is 14 points of damage.
Nice. Pretty good.
Halved because they saved, but, you know.
Any damage?
It's something, yeah.
It's something. This is the first damage that the jailer has taken this combat.
Oh, no.
I've missed 5 attacks in a row.
Yes, it's been pretty
I've been trying.
You've been working very hard. All right, Val, anything else for your turn?
Val has healing word selves, so he is conscious. Battle trigonometry her way around to the control panel and freed the Farai, who has passed Val's unofficial vibe check as of this moment.
He's not seemingly attacking you at this juncture.
And that's the bare minimum.
We'll take that at this point. Checkers.
Yes.
The Farai is out.
Yay.
And things are still pretty bad looking.
So Checkers is currently groveling on the floor in this pile of mud that was once Mango. And he's crying out, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But really, he has his fingers crossed this whole time.
I don't think that's how it...
That's how Commander works, I'm pretty sure.
That seems like it would be an involuntary thing. Like, anytime Checker says he's sorry, he crosses his fingers.
Yes.
So it's like almost
it's
involuntary...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a muscle memory thing when those words come out.
So, unfortunately, the cross fingers does not enable him to really do much of anything.
It does speak, I think, to his willpower.
Yes.
That even though he is under the command of someone, he's like,
not all the way. I'm still in control. So he's stuck on the ground, prone. But he still does have one frog out there. And what Billiam's going to do is he is going to smash into this mithril golem to try and... keep it away from Checkers, keep it off of Kaskrin, and just try to get some more damage in. So, he's going to attack. That'll be a 19 to hit.
That is a hit.
Nice. 8 points of bludgeoning, but non-magical damage.
So it does a little less damage than you would hope. Unless, have you installed an adamantium or mithril tongue
Sadly,
on Billiam?
Not yet.
Bummer.
No. And because Checkers is stuck groveling, that is the end of his turn.
Okay. End of the round, which means it is the jailer's turn. It is the final action of the round, I should say. That was a little misleading. I apologize. As his first action, the jailer gives a mighty tug on his heavy chain.
Yes.
Attempting to bring the frog ever closer.
Okay.
Please make me an opposed grapple check. Using athletics, acrobatics, etc.
I'll do this with acrobatics. Natural 20.
Hey!
Nice!
That is a success. I rolled pretty bad on that one.
I gotta switch my dice out again. Yeah. I gotta use those other dice that rolled. Well, not.
Not that.
I'm using the good dice again.
No.
So he tries to just kind of yank you back.
Yeah.
But I'm imagining, since you are prone, you have all your very sticky hands still on the floor and just are not able to be budged because you are groveling so thoroughly.
I'm just rolling on the ground in a way that makes it really hard to pull on that chain.
Just pulling a full toddler tantrum.
Yeah. Right.
Just going dead weight.
Yep. I said, I'm sorry.
Then he is going to, I guess he's going to use his Warhammer twice. Who is near enough by? Ooh.
Mal's messing with his console.
Well,
but I'm not close to him right now.
And his prisoner is loose.
That's true.
And that is truly not going to happen. Like, of all things that he is responsible for, that's got to be on the top as the jailer. So he, as he is still, he throws the chain over his shoulder, trying to drag this toddler checkers with him, but alas, doesn't work. So he gives it a little bit of slack, but he is going to walk over to Val and the Far-Eye, who are standing pretty close. I mean, he's a large creature, so he would be able to give a whack upon the both of you. So, first attack. Let's do the Far-Eye first.
Can Val, as a free action, have ducked and gotten half cover behind this
console? You would have half cover, right. Absolutely, but regardless. So first attack against the Far-Eye, who is... that's a hit.
Okay.
This is the worst roll I've rolled thus far, though.
Oh, no.
The Far-Eye
is dead.
Yeah.
Takes 20 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, jeez.
With one
and
attack?
And that is the first attack. The second attack against Valeska Carter. It's a hit.
No.
24 points.
Val is down.
Of bludgeoning damage.
Well,
shoot.
Nathan.
Yeah.
Can I interest you in a reaction? Because
I'm not interested in your reaction, but I'm interested in hearing it so I will know how, like, I need to resolve my anxiety that you've just injected into me.
As a reaction, Checkers is going to momentarily stop rolling around on the ground to look over at where Val is just getting this giant Warhammer smashed into her head. And he's going to invoke the Blessing of the Trickster Wind. Right before this hammer connects with her, a dozen jingling kites shoot out, and one of them just gets in the way of the Warhammer, and I'm going to send that Warhammer straight into the master console.
It immediately crumples.
Nice.
And you see the jailer kind of straighten back up, look up at Val, look at the Far-Eye, turn and look over his shoulder, not entirely sure what just happened, and he holds his Warhammer up and again, ready to continue his assault. But he doesn't have any more attacks, so.
And Checker just gives him a good old bleh.
And Val is just like, I'm pretty sure I just died. Yeah.
Did I just get Final Destination? I think, uh-oh. Top of the order, the battlefield is now split. There's kind of one half of the group, which is really, I guess, just Kaskrin and the Golem.
Yep, that is it.
And then there is, it's some measure, kind of the other half of the room, is a Checkers and Selv, who are a little bit away from the fray, I think. There is a Smushed Mango. There's a Billiam.
Right next to the Golem, yeah.
Next to the Golem, I apologize. He's still there. But Val is also there, kind of being threatened, but right next to the Far-Eye, your guys' target. And at the top of the round, it is the Far-Eye's turn. The large bop upon his head got him to stop doing his droning call for just a moment. And as he kind of blinks the concussion out of his eyes, looks around, he says, "Are you all alive?"
"Not for long if you don't do something."
And then he says a magical word. In fact, a healing word. In fact, a mass healing word.
Hey!
Upon all of you. You all regain 1d4 plus 5 hit points. You can each roll individually.
I feel pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
As an action, it is going to use its repugnant beam.
Okay.
So it extends as part of it. It like says this like just very joyful word of magical power. And you guys all feel invigorated by by the Grung's sudden magical presence. And you can feel how happy he is. That is what this magical healing is that he is so filled with happiness that you guys are here, that you are all lifted in spirit just a little bit. And then he croaks out a additional curse upon his enemies and is going to fire out a couple of beams against his foes. First one against the jailer. That hits. 9 points of radiant damage.
Oh, nice. Wow.
The second source of point of damage that he yeah. has taken
nice.
on him. Second attack, it has to be against a different target, so he's going to attack the other golem. 15 on the die. See, my dice rolls are coming Woo! Back around for you guys as well. Whoa, that is 3 sixes on 3d6.
Damn. Wow. Holy crap. All right.
He does 22 points of damage. Yeah.
So we don't need to hit these guys. Nathan will just do it for us.
Ah, yes. The GM trick of battling yourself using NPCs. Neato. At the end of his... So he has stood up. He's kind of walked forward a little bit. I guess he's still kind of in melee range of the jailer. But he says, "What an interesting day." And that is the end of his turn. Kaskrin Brightmane.
Yes. I am trying to figure out something else to do, but I don't... think I
do
really have anything,
time.
So I think I'm just gonna time. Hit him again.
Hitting's good. Hitting's a good thing
good.
To do.
So let's try this and see if anything changes. I'm going to roll 2 attacks against this mithril golem.
Third time's a charm.
First attack is a 22 to hit.
Hit.
Okay, nice.
Second attack, thank God, is a 17 to hit.
Miss.
No!
Oh, shoot. All right, so it's at least gonna be a little bit of damage. That is 12 points of bludgeoning damage.
Excellent.
Which is not nothing.
No, it brings it to 69 points of damage.
Hey.
Nice.
As a bonus action, I am going to hurl yet another one of my orbital stones, this time at the jailer.
Okay.
That's going to be a ranged spell attack. 19 to hit.
Hits.
Nice. That will deal 3d10 points of damage.
Whew. So look, you guys, doing damage. And by you guys, I mean... Kaskrin finally, and also yeah. the NPC.
That is 19 points of bludgeoning rock damage, and I have 1 stone remaining.
It hits, it takes a bit of the shoulder pauldron off and exposes some, not circuitry, but just a ton of little gears spinning as it just flies off this little bit of armor. 19 points of damage.
19 points of damage. All right, I will take that. I cannot really move in a way that's meaningful without provoking an attack opportunity, so I'm going to stay here next to Billiam and this golem and just like keep it in check for right now, see if I can take it down.
It is the golem's turn. There's a Billiam there. There's a Kaskrin there. Kaskrin has done several smacks upon it.
Finally.
But also, Billiam is repugnant.
That's true. Disgusting.
That's fair. That's
to
fair.
This golem, not to me,
abhorrent.
Obviously. So it is going to do some split attacks upon the both of you. First attack will be against Kaskrin, and then we'll just kind of alternate from there. First attack does a 27 hit.
Yes, it does.
Okay, 14 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ouch. I take a little less, but still not good.
Second attack, Billiam.
Yep.
Does a 29 hit.
You know, I think it does.
I can't believe my dice rolls. It's crazy. 9 points of damage.
Yeah, he's still up, but looking bad.
Kaskrin Brightmane.
Yep.
16 to hit.
That does miss.
Hey,
thank God.
I rolled max damage. Billiam. 27 to hit.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
10 points of bludgeoning damage.
And he pops like a balloon.
No, Billiam!
Well, I'm, yeah. But ate a couple of very yeah. important attacks.
Yeah, like, I would be down. Yeah.
Yes. I would say Billiam, as always, did a great job.
Yep.
No matter what he was trying to do, aspired to do, he was great, as
it's
always.
True.
Best boy. Selv Astralin, you are awake.
I am conscious.
You've gotten a couple healing words now.
So, first things first. Selv is going to stand up.
Good.
Next thing I'm going to do is I am going to, as a bonus action, once again, use the Ring of the Bear, and I am going to spend up to 3 hit dice to regain hit points.
Seems like a wise
power
choice.
Move.
Yes, so I will be doing all 3. That is 14 health that I get back.
Sick.
Which almost doubles my current hit points. And who is directly next to the Mithril Golem?
Kaskrin.
It's me. Hello.
Yes. I don't want to do anything that would potentially explode and damage you. So I am going to move to such a location that I am 15 feet away from the Mithril Golem.
Excellent.
And let's say opposite that is Kaskrin at 20 feet away.
Understood. So you're trying to keep it as far away as possible.
Well, yes, basically. And so I think the only thing I'm going to capture in my cone is the Mithril Golem.
Yeah, should be fine.
Okay. In that case, I am going to breathe. I need the Mithril Golem to go ahead and make a DC 13 Constitution saving throw.
That is a success.
Okay. Then they take half damage, but it is still cold-based damage.
So you're saying they take full damage?
Oh, ooh. Wow.
Well, if they are vulnerable to it, then yes, I do. So that will be 3d6 in cold damage. 12 points of cold damage.
Kaskrin, you being right next to this thing,
yep,
can now hear some kind of like crunches as it is trying to move with the same fluidity that it once did. And it is very clearly struggling to do so in a way that, I don't know, might make it seem a little easier to hit.
Nice.
Not as powerful.
And that should, let's see, that was movement, that was bonus action, that was action. I think that'll do it.
Veleska Carter, you are cowering behind a console, like in a heroic, strategic way.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Cowering. You are right next to a Grung, not the usual Grung, different one. But he's there. But also, so is the jailer, unfortunately. What would you like to do?
Great question. Lot of options. I don't like my chances against the jailer's strength saving throw.
Probably not, no.
So instead, I, as a bonus action, am going to cast Spiritual Weapon right above the jailer's head as,
We're going back to the giant pencil?
No, I think I'm going as like a big old pamphlet of like, prisoners' rights.
Got it. Of better ways to punish people in society, and
yeah,
and
of like a reform on yes, the judicial system.
Yeah, you know, one of those.
Yeah. Okay. So I will. A big old book will come down on its head for a 20, not natural 20, to hit.
That is a hit.
Nice.
10 points of magical prisoner's rights damage. And then as my action, I will charge 2 Eldritch Blasts at point blank range into the jailer.
Sick.
19 on a die for 4 points of damage. And a natural 1 on the other one.
Bummer.
And, you know,
action surge.
I think Val's going to skedaddle.
Oh, you're going to skedaddle. You're going to risk the opportunity attack.
I think so, because okay, I don't want to be around for the full attack.
Yep, that makes sense.
Okay. So Val will attempt to move to cower behind the rubble of another console.
Okay, let me just grab some D12s and a D20. That is a 22 to hit.
Ugh. All right.
That is 18 points.
That's exactly my hit points.
Oh,
I go down.
No.
So I'm hearing it's you have 1 hit point left.
No, I'm down.
We're not done yet.
Well,
Val.
But also not bleeding out.
Correct.
Which is important.
So you're at 0.
At 0.
Okay. Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Checkers.
Mm-hmm.
Val is down.
Yep.
You see Val absolutely crumble.
Yeah, just get walloped by this large warhammer.
How is the jailer's armor? How is the jailer or his armor looking?
He's looking much worse for wear than he was. He's not quite bloodied, but also you guys have only started doing damage to him.
Right. And the mithril golem next to Kaskrin is also similarly like weakened pretty badly.
The mithril golem is both weak. It has both been hit a lot and is kind of starting to behave a little erratically, but also with the frost that is on it, seems to be moving a little slower, maybe not quite as sharp a combatant as it was, say, a turn ago, approximately.
So Checkers is still stuck at the end of this heavy chain, and now that he no longer needs to grovel, he has a few options. I'm going to cast the second level spell Spike Growth, and what this looks like is it's a 20-foot radius around the base of this jailer in a big bed of sharp white coral just spreads out from around him. I'm also going to try to combo that with using the Mantle of Still Waters. At the very end of this room, a puddle of still water appears and a rope comes flying out of it, shooting towards the jailer. I'm going to make an attack roll. 19 to hit.
Hits.
The jailer. Okay, so the jailer is now barred from extra-dimensional travel.
Okay.
And I need him to make me a wisdom saving throw to not be pulled towards the source of the water.
Fail.
All right, so this jailer is pulled 30 feet towards the end of this room, away from Val, away from Checkers, which also breaks the grapple because it's forced movement.
So you are pulling him kind of to the far end of the room,
yep,
back where the Far Eyes jail cell was.
Yes, exactly.
Understood.
And now it's like, you know, he's got this big bed of coral in front of him trying to, you know, block him from hitting the rest of us. But as he gets pulled through this coral, he's going to take a bunch of damage. So he'll have moved 4 squares through spike growth, which means he'll take 8d4 piercing damage.
Ouch. Damn. That's so many d4.
Right? That'll be 22 points of damage.
Oh.
Nice.
As he gets pulled through the spike growth, and Checker just kind of like crawls to his feet. And that is the end of my turn.
It is the jailer's turn. You see this creature stagger to his feet. And now bits of the armor has been ripped off through the coral and all the dragging that has just occurred, as well as just the pile of damage. And now you can actually see that there is a humanoid creature inside of this suit. In fact, Checkers, you can see a sliver of a ghostly dwarven face inside of this suit. And there is a bit of panic in it. Still over there is the body of Valeska. First attack is going to use a heavy chain against Valeska. That is a hit.
Okay, so that's 2 failures?
Yes.
And he is going to, for his second attack, is going to drag her through the corals, killing Valeska Carter. He drags her lifeless body and holds it up against him. But that is the end of his turn.
So Selv looks over towards Val and just screams out, "Valeska!" And fixes his eyes on the armored figure that is now holding her. Going back to the very beginning, the letter that Selv had received at the monastery asking him to join the guild had specifically requested that he join because he would be kind of the calm center of the group. And looking at him now, all of that is gone.
So this moment comes on so quickly. Like, one second we see the hammer blow miss Val. The next second we see the hammer connect with Val. And then all of a sudden she's pulled across the room through the coral. And she goes from living to unconscious to dead in a heartbeat. I don't think Checkers even has a moment to process what just happened, but he knows that when we came to the city of Nahasar, it was going to be dangerous. He just didn't think it was going to be Val.
Kaskrin can't even believe his eyes. Like, he... It's not even a matter of disbelief. It's just like he knows deep down that this... She must have something. Val is never unprepared. Like, she must have thought of this. She's the smartest of all of us. But when he sees the jailer holding Val with all those cuts and scrapes and wounds, that little bit of hope in him dies along with her.
Val, what do you think Val sees as she fails her third saving throw?
I think she sees Vakri. I think he is incredibly worried, but putting on a brave face. This is not the first time this has happened, but it is the gravest time they've encountered this.
I don't know if Vakri even says anything, but he looks at you with his one singular eye and grabs your hand and gives it a squeeze. And then you smell something. A salty, briny smell. And the next thing that you see is not Vakri's eye. It is the eyes, the far eyes, of Master Grumbingle.
Oh.
You are 10 feet up in the air. Your spine is still being crunched, and you can't breathe very well. But right in your face is that of a ghostly grung. And he says, "This place has plenty of death as it is. Let's not add to it, shall we?"
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, this is your pilot speaking. I would like to welcome you to Reckless Airlines. Our total flight time for this episode is approximately 1 hour, and we will be cruising at an altitude of 2,000 frog stacks. In a little bit, the flight attendants will be by with complimentary clips and excerpts from previous Reckless Attack episodes. We know you have a lot of choices when it comes to 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcasts, and we would like to thank you for choosing ours. If you enjoyed your experience during today's episode, please be sure to fill out the in-flight survey and leave us a rating or review, or tell a friend. Book your next flight with us at www.recklessattack.com, and thank you for listening.
As soon as it happens, you guys see a spark of life re-enter into Valeska Carter. But things are still looking a little grim for you guys. This situation is extremely dangerous. You know that Val doesn't have a lot of HP. You know that most of you don't have a lot of HP. And this is very serious, and that you have to finish this. Kaskrin Brightmane.
Yep.
There is still a Mithril Golem who is, indeed, a little frosty next to you. And you are kind of alone on this side of the room. Selv is probably the next closest, but even he is probably 15 plus feet away. And so, right now, it is you and this Mithril Golem. What would you like to do?
Yeah, so I am going to try and take advantage as much as I can of the opportunity that Selv has bought me with his dragon's breath, slowing this creature down just enough to let me get a solid hit in. I am going to summon the extent of Kaskrin's magical prowess and cast my fifth level spell, Brutal Barrage. Kaskrin is going to like kind of reach his hands towards one of the open jail cell doors, and he clenches it, making a fist, causing cracks to form on the side of this thing. And you can see these cracks kind of spidering out as the jamb of the door begins to crumble. He hurls his arm forward as if he's pulling a great weight, and shards of obsidian break free from the door of this cell and spear themselves into the mithril golem in front of him. I cast Brutal Barrage at level 5, and I'm going to make 5 attack rolls.
Yikes.
Whoa.
Does a 17 hit?
A 17 does hit.
Hey!
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Now it does.
Oh, perfect.
Previously, it did not, but indeed, it is moving just a little bit slower than it did when it was less frozen.
Hell yeah. That is going to be 6 points of damage, and it is knocked prone.
Unfortunately, being a semi kind of gelatinous creature, it is not knocked prone.
All right. The next 4 attacks, I'm just going to make one after the other. That is 2 hits, both of them 19. And then 2 misses, a 2 and a 1.
Oof.
That's going to be additional 2d12 points of damage. Luckily, I rolled nearly max damage on that for 25 points of additional magical bludgeoning damage.
Magical?
Hell yeah.
Bludgeoning damage.
We needed that.
Kaskrin Brightmane.
Yes.
Please describe your kill.
Yes.
Woo! So the first shard rockets from the door of the cell, impaling this thing in its chest and causing it to lose momentum. The next one hits its arm, pushing it farther back. The third one hits its other arm, pushing it even further back. And I'm going to say the last two kind of like pin this thing on its arms and legs, pushing it all the way back to the edge of the room and pinning it against the wall, where it suddenly spasms, loses its form, and then melts into the great blow.
Couldn't
have said it better myself.
So with this thing down, I am finally free to move closer towards Valeska and the jailer, and where Farai Chaturanga Grumbingle. The grumbling.
That's why I've exclusively referred to it as the Farai.
Yeah,
because
the Farai.
It just takes a lot of time to say.
I'm going to move 20 feet closer towards Valeska, and I'm going to do something I also probably should have done a while ago. As a bonus action, I am going to rip just another little bit off of the wall, and Valeska, you find yourself covered with obsidian knee pads, arm pads, and a little apron, like a little heavy leather apron that's made out of obsidian.
Cool.
You are now my squire, and I can reduce some of your damage should you take more of it.
Great. I'm currently wrapped in a chain whip, so I can't really see anything except my knee pads, but I know they're there, and I feel emboldened.
I would like to point out, you are wrapped by even more than that, because you are also wrapped by the arm, the robotic arm of the jailer, as it is actively crushing you.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you are wrapped in Grung.
Yeah.
Because the Farai had to literally use an ability called Hop to jump over the obstacles and just like splorch onto you to revive you. And is indeed still there. As he says, "Whoa, you got cool shoes."
Cass gave them to me.
Can you give me cool shoes?
Cass, can you give Farai cool shoes?
Only one at a time. Get in line.
Live dwarf, cool shoes, stat.
And that is my turn.
It is not the Mithril Golem's turn.
Yay!
Thank goodness. Instead, it is Selv Astralin's turn.
Ooh. So, keeping 15 feet away from the jailer, my question, Nathan, is that along with the spike growth / coral that is in the area, giving difficult terrain and hurting people that walk through it, am I able to run up the side of the wall, jump off the wall and onto the far console that was broken, and and land safely there, or at least try to land safely there, and still be within 15 feet of the jailer.
Yes, but.
Okay.
So here's the deal. The jump is well within your natural ability to get there, but because you essentially have to do a twisting backflip off the wall, very monk shit, I will still ask you to roll an acrobatics check, please.
Sure.
It's not going to be, in further consideration, I think because of what you're doing, I think it will be not as hard, but I still will need a dice roll.
Sure. Only a 21.
Cool monk shit engage.
Yeah.
You see Selv run up. Not he runs up vertically, kind of in the dividers between the cells, runs perfectly horizontally, essentially alongside the ceiling, and then sick backflip across the thing, perfectly landing on, you know, kind of doing Jean-Claude Van Damme splits between the broken console.
Excellent. And then, as Jean-Claude Van Damme, I am going to punch twice. I'm guessing 8 will not hit. But does the 18 hit?
That does.
6 points of damage. And then I'm going to spend a key point, and I am going to make the jailer make a strength saving throw.
Natural 2.
Oh, ooh. Wow. Really?
For a total of?
Misses by a bit, yes.
Ooh. Well, I've got some good news for Farai and Valeska. The jailer is pushed 10 feet and knocked prone.
This large robot staggers backwards, and you can hear the whirring of circuitry and the big clomps as it is trying to maintain its balance while also holding a whip and warhammer and also
Valeska and Farai.
Valeska and Farai.
Well, because of the movement, Valeska and Farai are no longer held.
Would forced movement should break the grapple, correct?
It does, yeah. But then we have to question where Valeska ends up in the spike growth.
Yes, indeed.
So the jailer will take 5 points of damage from being shunted through a bunch of dead coral. But in the process of doing so, Valeska and the Farai are also going to end up in that same coral.
As a reaction, Kaskrin is going to magically empower the squire gear that you have, Valeska. And he's going to spend 3 sorcery points to reduce the incoming damage you take by 3d8.
Oh, dang.
I'm trying over here to kill Valeska with Spike Rose.
So hard.
So hard.
Jonathan, how much damage have you done with Spike Rose to your own party?
Yeah, a lot.
Once again, Jonathan and I have conspired outside of the session to be like, who can we kill and how can we brutally kill him in the most gruesome way possible? And you guys are ruining it.
So Valeska falls. Jonathan, roll that damage dice. All right. I will spend my resources to mitigate that damage.
All right, hang on. So Valeska is going to have to take 2d4 points of damage as she tumbles into the coral.
And I'm going to roll 3d8, and there's a real chance Valeska still dies.
There's a non-zero. 3d8 is
I don't know what
medium.
The math is on this.
You don't have to roll if he rolls a 2 or 3.
Yes. Roll bad.
No, you have to roll. I absolutely... Oh, Jonathan, hide your roll.
Okay.
David, tell us your roll.
All right, hold on.
Is it more than 8?
David.
It is more than 8.
Hey! Okay, what'd you roll?
I actually only rolled a 3.
Hey.
Yeah! There you go.
There we go. Okay. See, that's... We had to at least try to build the drama.
Yeah.
My thought was, I had to get you out of there because if the jailer had you, that's pretty much automatic damage the next time it goes.
And Steve, so I do not hold it against you. That was a great turn.
Hold it against Checkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was ready to go down again.
Speaking of someone who's about to go down again, Valeska Carter, it is your turn.
Hey, and great news. I don't have to ask you about do cantrips that with a range work against somebody who's grappled me because I'm no longer grappled.
You're no longer grappled.
And they're at range.
They're at range.
He is prone, though.
Yes.
Which does...
Does
hurt your ranged abilities.
We don't even need the jailer. We're doing just fine hurting ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
As Val lands in the coral spike growth with her cool shoes.
Obsidian shoes.
Obsidian shoes. She's like, what? Okay, I'm still alive.
Just don't move too far in those. They're not that sturdy.
And Val will cast Healing Word on herself. For 5 points of health.
Oh, that's more. That's more.
That is
die.
The minimum amount of points.
Okay.
That I can heal with that spell. And then without moving an inch, Val will cast Toll the Dead.
Being as still as possible as you can be while casting a spell.
Using no somatic or material components.
Just T-posing, very still.
Bong!
I will need the jailer to make a wisdom saving throw. DC 16.
18 on the die.
Minus.
And plus. Alas.
But Val is alive and she's not moving. And she uses her free action to be like, I can't thank you enough, Farai. We'll figure out a way out of here. Don't move.
Checkers.
Yes. I'm going to take a page out of Sel's book, and I'm going to leap onto one of the nearby ruined consoles that is surrounded by dead coral. I don't have to do cool monk shit because I have a 20-foot... standing jump.
Mm-hmm. You just kind of, I think, are you going to the, so depending on your range, you might have to go to the one that Sel was on, but okay. I'm totally fine ruling that there's room for both.
Okay. I want to be within 30 feet of the jailer. So I imagine I'm having to go to the same console that Sel was on. And what I will do is, as an action, I'm going to throw out a jagged fishing hook to try and hit the jailer with a thorn whip.
Mmm.
So this is my d20 roll. A natural one.
No!
A natural one. All right, so that didn't work. But what I will then try to do is, as a bonus action, I'm once again going to invoke the Mantle of Still Waters. And what this is going to do is, since the jailer has already been tethered, it's going to try and pull him towards the source of the water, which hopefully will move him 10 feet through the spike growth.
I think that tracks.
That'll be a DC 17 wisdom saving throw.
Fails.
Woo. Okay, perfect. So all that happens is that he gets pushed back through the Fist of Unbroken Air and then yo-yoed back into the center of the spike growth with the Mantle of Still Waters. He's going to take an additional 4d4 points of damage. That'll be 10 points of damage from the coral. And I'm going to drop the spike growth because it seems I've caused enough trouble.
Val's like, this is great. Got dropped by the jailer. He's been moved 10 feet away. My spell didn't work. That's all right. I healed a little bit. He's still 10 feet away. It's fine. And then, oh, fuck, he's now right here again? No!
He back.
No!
And the jailer, sparks flying, stands up. The jailer glares around the room. Again, you can still see just enough face to see the contempt and anger, but a little trickle of worry on his face. And he lashes out to Checkers.
Of course.
So first he's going to make a heavy chain attack against you. That is a 27 to hit.
Yeah, wow.
The dice is back, baby.
That hits. Yep.
17 points of bludgeoning damage.
Damn.
As this huge chain wraps around you. You are grappled.
Yep. I'm looking really bad, guys.
Feeling that you are locked down. He's doing two attacks. He's doing one attack against Self. And he's going to do one attack against the person that he has seen cast healing spells.
Yeah.
First attack. 17 to hit.
AC 18.
Nice. He finally missed one.
So huge Warhammer strike. I think this is the first one that Self has encountered directly,
yes,
if I recall. And it is just surgical.
Whoa.
Second, Gillespie Carter. 13.
Oh my god, I made it 14!
14, wow.
That's the only dice that I just never hit now.
I rolled a 3 on the die.
Oh my god.
I'm also going to say,
I feel like Whoop is going to be like, you're so stressed.
I don't know what just happened, but you screaming and flailing away from the microphone somehow fucked up my head.
Oh, no.
In a way that makes no sense, and that is delightful. Ah, there we go.
Okay.
Two huge misses.
Wow.
Damn.
Jeez.
Well, not three misses. I mean, let's not be ridiculous. Missed by one on each of these attacks, and they are rippers, as you may recall. Now, it is the top of the round. It's the Far Eye's turn.
He's coming clutch so much this battle.
And once again, he looks around and he says, "This is one of the best days I've had in I don't know how long. Thank you." And he does this kind of weird sonorous sound that you guys all recognize by now as being magically infused, and is going to once again cast Mass Healing Word on everybody. Woo! So please please roll 1d4 and add 4. And that is, you get that HP back. As a bonus action and as his move action, he is going to use his hop ability.
Nice.
He's going to pat Val on the shoulder, and he's going to give a wink, and he's going to jump straight up onto the ceiling.
Cool.
Perfect vertical, does a 180 flip, and just clap right there. And going to start moving away. Crazed as he is, the jailer is going to try to take an attack of opportunity against him with his Warhammer. That was a better roll.
Yeah, okay.
That one does hit.
Please don't kill Defari.
No, we need him.
Defari says, "I've died enough. What's one more?"
"No, my best friend."
Well, he takes quite a bit of damage. So you can see this connects.
Yeah.
Like, it caves in his chest a little bit and stops his progress for a second. And he gives another froggy thumbs up. As he, like, he's now doing, you know, kind of when you get the wind knocked out of you, mm-hmm. you just have to, like, crawl on the ground for a little bit. He's doing that, but up on the ceiling as he's trying to complete the last, like, 5 or 10 feet of his move.
I'm fine, guys.
No, Farai!
Keep it up. You're doing great.
Oh, no.
Kaskrin Brightmane, your
Hello,
turn.
Hello, it's me again. I'm going to try to finish this off once and for all. We'll see how this goes. Kaskrin is, I want to say, like, maybe 30 feet away from this creature. He's from the jailer. The jailer is, his armor's looking worse for wear.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he remains as menacing as the first time we saw him.
Indeed. Maybe more. He seems maybe more desperate than he did previously.
Yeah. Farai has taken this big hit and has landed on the top of the roof. I am going to cast Twinned Catapult at level 3. What this looks like is Castron kind of runs forward, and in the same way where he's just pulled shards from the wall, these chunks of obsidian, he's going to do the same thing and reach towards the roof. These two, like, long strips of obsidian peel away from the roof and begin rocketing themselves down, one of them kind of targeting each of his shoulders in this attempt to, like, pin him to the floor. Can you please have him make me 2 DC 16 dexterity saving throws?
Not the most dexterous. 19 on the die.
All right, yeah.
Second is a failure.
Ooh, all right. Because I have cast these at third level, he's going to take 5d8 points of damage.
Wow.
Whew.
I rolled really well.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That single shard of obsidian lances its way from, like, the top of his shoulder down through the side of his abdomen, dealing 32 points of damage.
Wow.
Whoa.
Shard of obsidian pierces through. Just one sliver. You see, from his half-covered face, he coughs up blood and slumps over at the controls as the whole apparatus starts smoking and tips forward.
Yay! Yay!
Congratulations, you have survived the combat.
Woo!
And so with that, we'll end the episode. See you next time, everyone. Guys, I have to ask, what will you collectively as a table do for me, the GM, to not use the same D20 that I used for the first bit of this fight that has rolled exclusively double digits essentially the whole time?
I have ordered Wingstop, and if you're nice to me, I will give you some.
Well, that's complicated.
Technically, we already
there was kind of an agreement going in, though.
I have altered the deal.
Yeah, I see how this maybe came to this direction.
Any number of baked goods, delivered whatever you want.
Any of them. I don't care. I'll bake whatever you want. Who cares?
Nathan, I will give you absolutely nothing.
Interesting.
A hard bargain.
Interesting. Yeah, right, yeah. Interesting.
For you to keep using that dice.
You know what, Nathan? I'll start a change.org petition for the Reckless Attack Discord to get people to sign it to give Val the mantle of Stillwater.
Oh, good. Good. Well, it's all being very
interesting. I love how we're now making choices by community and not just at the table.
I don't know about who we is. Yeah. You are scrounging and just clawing, trying to get anyone to be like, well, Nathan, the people have spoken.
Yeah.
And I say I ignore the people. I am a dictator.
I know I think my petition will do anything. I just think it'd be hilarious and might make Nathan chuckle.